Dr. Gerald Horn, we do want to hear from you about BAR and the rollout and the significance of what that might mean, not only for the country, but the example the United States is setting around the world. But before that, because there's a link here, I think, with another dangerous member of the Trump administration and Trump himself, and I want to go to a clip of the rollout of John Bolton talking about new sanctions on Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua. And then, Dr. Horn, you can comment on BAR and then take us into the final segment where we'll be discussing the international matters. If that's okay, Dr. Horn, let's go to that clip now.
The Trump administration is proud to announce several further measures we are adopting to reverse the consequences of the disastrous Obama-era policies and finally end the glamorization of socialism and communism. We are also announcing that the Department of the Treasury will implement further regulatory changes to restrict non-family travel to Cuba. These new measures will help steer American dollars away from the Cuban regime or its military and security services who control the tourism industry in Cuba. We will also be announcing new limits on remittances to Cuba. We know that families in the United States want to help their loved ones in Cuba, and we want Cubans to get the support they need and deserve. For this reason, our new limits will be $1,000 per person per quarter. This afternoon, I'm also pleased to announce new sanctions against the Central Bank of Venezuela to restrict U.S. transactions with this bank and prohibit its access to U.S. dollars. The Central Bank of Venezuela has been crucial to keeping Maduro in power, including through its control of the transfer of gold for currency. These steps against Venezuela's central bank should be a strong warning to all external actors, including Russia, against deploying military assets to Venezuela to prop up the Maduro regime. The United States will consider such provocative actions a threat to international peace and security in the region. Today, we proudly proclaim for all to hear the Monroe Doctrine is alive and well. In the past few months, more than 50 nations have joined the United States in recognizing President Juan Guaido as the legitimate leader of Venezuela. The walls are closing in. There is no turning back. The people will prevail, and when they do, we know that Cuba will be next. And soon thereafter, we pray, the third member of the Troika of Tyranny, Nicaragua, will also at last be free. Today, I am pleased to announce that the United States will also sanction Bancorp, the Ortega slush fund. This is just the beginning. As long as the people of Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua stand for freedom, the United States will stand with them.
All righty. So, Dr. Horn, I mean, it just seems to me as though on the one hand, on the domestic front, there you have Bob Barr, and on the international front, you've got John Bolton. As far as I'm concerned, Barr and Bolton are cut from the same cloth. I mean, this is really scary stuff. The Monroe Doctrine, U.S. foreign policy beginning in 1823, that basically said the United States could have control over all of the Americas, pretty much, not only within its own borders. So just your reaction to Barr's rollout on the one hand, and on the other hand, what the scary stuff that we're hearing now from John Bolton. And you might also want to comment on the developments happening in North Korea, Dr. Gerald Horn.
First of all, with regard to Barr, the question is, why did so many Democrats confirm him? This is of a piece with their past practice, for example, confirming late Supreme Court Justice and reactionary Antonin Scalia by a vote of 98-0 with all Democrats present voting in favor of him. I think it's also important to look at Mr. Trump, as many pundits have suggested, as a kind of crime boss. The problem is that he's so incompetent that if this were to be a Hollywood movie, it would be pitched as Goodfellas meets the Three Stooges or The Godfather meets Dumb and Dumber, which means that he's even more dangerous than he appears to be. With regard to Cuba, which will the U.S. latest maneuver will allow more lawsuits against property losses by exiles in South Florida post-1959, I would hope that Canada and Britain respond by authorizing lawsuits for those of Canadian and British heritage who lost property post-1776 when they were expelled and expropriated from what is now the United States. Certainly, Canada and the EU are upset with this latest maneuver. You might have seen that Prince Charles himself was in Cuba just a few weeks ago, which I think sent a loud signal to Washington as to what direction that London is leaning as we speak. I think it's also a bit of a puffery on the part of Mr. Bolton, because he and most observers realize that with a reported 18,000 Cuban troops in Venezuela, it's going to be more than a notion to engage in a military intervention. And so therefore, he's left to these press conferences where he's reiterating the emptiness of the so-called Monroe Doctrine. Likewise, with regard to North Korea, the latest news is that the DPRK has supposedly developed a new weapon. The Republic of Korea, South Korea, is quite concerned about this. Chairman Kim reportedly will be heading to Moscow next, and that will further constrict, it seems to me, Washington's efforts to effectuate an entente with the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
Yes, and Laura Carlson, we just have about, what is it, about three and a half minutes, so maybe between you and Jackie Goldberg on this whole issue of John Bolton's announcement in relation to Venezuela, Cuba, and also Nicaragua. I had also heard somewhere there's a rumor floating around that the United States may very well invade Venezuela by the end of this year. Laura Carlson, quick thought.
Well, this is warmongering. The sanctions themselves, there are already so many sanctions that some people feel that they're not a huge difference, but the rhetoric is accelerating, and then we have these constant rumors, actually, of invasion as this looming threat in order to put behind some of these measures. I don't know if other people found that the clip cut off a little bit, but essentially, just to really quickly say what these sanctions are, the most important ones have to do with the Helms-Burton Act against Cuba. And basically it says that U.S. citizens can file lawsuits for properties confiscated in 1959, which, as the historian on our panel has pointed out, could open up to historic measures that would be completely contrary to what the Trump administration thinks it's doing here, you know, going back to Native Americans, for example. But what the real problem is, too, is that this is going to alienate allies. This is considered a unilateral extraterritorial measure. The Helms-Burton Act has always been that, that affects a lot of U.S. allies in a very negative way. And then the travel restrictions are major, too. They think that they're trying to get in good with the Marco Rubio alliance. They think that they're going to try to affect Florida politics. I think they're misreading Florida politics. Second-generation Cubans do not have this warmongering attitude toward Cuba. They have a very different attitude. So it's probably going to be shooting themselves in the foot as well.
All righty. And Jackie Goldberg, I mean, note the attack on not only the Obama administration, but on socialism, which clearly is, you know, an attack on people like Bernie Sanders, frankly speaking. And just your quick thoughts on these moves now, undoing decades of practice in relationship to Cuba.
This is a great gift to Cuba. Cuba has been modernizing since there's been influence. Once the United States begins having relationships with it, those people that travel there, people who go there, there's been change already beginning in Cuba. This will stop it completely. And the reason it will stop it completely is because, first of all, everybody needs to remember that Castro offered to buy all of the latifundias at the price that the owners of those properties declared on their taxes. And they refused to accept that money. That's when it was seized. So there was an offer to buy, but the offer to buy was at a rate that was determined by what people lied about what their value of their property was.
Yeah.
So that's an important thing for people to remember. Secondly, It's important to understand that when they talk about the land being taken, it wasn't just the large farmsteads, but it's also the house you might be living in, because all the property was taken after people left and fled Castro. So what you have is now everybody who lives in any place in Cuba now has to worry that somebody in the United States will say, well, that was my house, and sue them for it. Well, that immediately helps the current regime stay in power. So I think that this was a stupid move designed, as Laura said, to affect Florida politics. But the effect of it will be, I think, quite the opposite.
Okay. Thank you, Jackie Goldberg. We're going to have to leave it there.